Welcome to Diverse, a Society of Women Engineers podcast. SWE gives women engineers a unique place and voice within the engineering community. On Diverse, we highlight incredible women in STEM and discover who they are at home, at work, and everywhere in between. You can find all of our episodes online at podcast.swe.org or wherever you stream your favorite podcasts.
Hi, I'm your host, Larry Guthrie, SWE's Director of Content Strategy, and welcome to A View from the Top, a sub-series of Diverse, a SWE podcast, where we share emerging trends and career advancement tips from high-level leaders in STEM. Today, we're speaking with two incredible trailblazers in this space. Jackie Reeves is the Director of IT Operations, leading the Endpoint Solutions Group at Abbott. And we also have Tamika Abbott, the Director of Security Technology at the U.S. Department of State. And they're both joining me live today from the Diverse Podcast Studio at WE23. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me, Larry.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
It's so great to have both of you, and I'm excited to hear both your vantage points on the ever-evolving landscape of STEM. To start off, I'd love to hear about your career journey, you know, how you climbed the ladder to get where you are today. Can you share a little bit about what that looked like for each of you? Let's start with you, Jackie.
Yes, I would love to. So I think I have a unique journey to get to technology career. I started out as a political science and sociology major and really thought I wanted to have a career in politics and maybe law. And as I graduated and started working in research science, I realized I didn't love it and it wasn't exciting to me. But using the computer, manipulating data, and using data to tell a story was really interesting for me. And I realized that I wanted to think about another career and think about making computers more a central part of that. And so that was kind of my first dip into it. And that was when I was very young. And then I really started in infrastructure and operations, you know, doing PC support and helping people to use PCs. And really loved doing networking and server configurations and knew I wanted to do more of the engineering of infrastructure and really dived into that and started leading teams in that and really settled into engineering and infrastructure for the rest of my career.
Great. And how did that look when you joined Abbott?
So the other thing I should tell you there, I had a big break in the middle of my career too. So I was a director at Northwest Airlines, leading most of the infrastructure teams, and was pregnant with my first child, and also had a death in the family that really just changed how I felt about what I was going to do. I was always really focused on my career, but I decided after that, I'm going to stay home with my baby. And I think this is an important choice for me. And then 9 years later, three kids later, I decided I really needed to go back to work. I wanted to be challenged and have that part of my life back, and was really scared about what that would look like and how I would rejoin the workforce. And I think one of the things I'll talk about today is how relationships with coworkers and mentors and people that you trust and who really support you and want you to succeed is so critical in anybody's career, technology or otherwise. But it made my reentry into the work world actually pretty easy and pretty fast, because I had stayed in touch and people genuinely wanted to see me succeed. And so I jumped back in after 9 years and really, you know, a lot had changed in that time too. And one of the things that I think is really important for people in technology to realize is, you know, your basic, you know, your skills aren't as important as your drive and your willingness to grow and learn new things, because technology just by definition is going to change. And change is a key part of that. And I think embracing that and always learning is critical for any kind of a career. So as I jumped back into the workforce, I was not working for Abbott initially, but I mentioned that I had a mentor who got me back into the workforce. And then when they left the company that we were both in, they went to another company, Abbott, and wanted somebody with my skill set. And so I just was able to kind of make the jump there. And it was a great way to go in again. And so not only do mentors help you within companies, but also even if you're looking to leave companies, having relationships with people both in your company and outside of your company are so important.
That is a fantastic story on so many levels. I mean, everything from the power of a mentor and the reentry. I think that's something that our listeners can definitely identify with, taking that break. And I'm sure there was that nervousness and intimidation of getting back in, jumping back in, especially after 9 years.
And not even knowing the technology anymore. But having someone have faith in you and believe in you and know that you can learn it is critical.
Absolutely. And Tamika?
Yes, I would love to share a little bit about that. So I'm going to age myself here. In 1999, I was recruited to work for the U.S. Department of State as a security engineering officer. I had no clue what that was. I quickly found out. So when I joined the department, they brought me in as a entry-level engineer, and they sent me through about 7 months of training to learn a couple more skill sets that my college instilled the basics in for me, but I was going to need a little bit more of that to perform the duty successfully as a security engineering officer. Shortly following my training, I was told my assignment was going to be working as one of the engineers traveling around with the Secretary of State. Again, had no clue what that even meant, but I was assigned to work on the detail with Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, who was an amazing woman and trailblazer herself. And I would travel around with her as her engineer, making sure that she had secure communications and the ability to perform her job wherever she may have been in the world. A year after that, I was assigned as the engineer to help bring Colin Powell over from DOD into the Department of State. And that was an experience in itself because he was an amazing person and an amazing mentor. And the principles that he brought to the Department of State on leadership were just really awesome to see as an entry-level engineer, and how it applied to me was amazing. It was his leadership series that, when introduced to the Department of State, showed me that there was a path to the top for me as well. We have a career development plan that is given to us as entry-level officers, and I was dedicated to that plan. I made a goal that I was going to check every box on that plan to get me to where I needed to be or where I wanted to be. Back then, I don't think I wanted to be the director. I just wanted to be an engineer working on the technical aspects of this job, which are amazing. My colleagues and I travel around the globe, live in foreign countries, working on technical solutions that allow diplomacy to exist in the space that it does. My first assignment after working with the secretary was to Cairo, Egypt. I had never lived overseas, so this in itself was an experience, and we were learning how to implement technical solutions to overcome the various security issues that may have existed in that space. And according to the plan, my next step was to ask for my own office. Had no idea what that meant, but I was going to ask for my own office, and that is what I did. From there, I went to Nigeria, where I spent 4 years leading the technical security teams in Nigeria and working on solutions throughout the continent of Africa. We had some amazing trips, amazing journeys, and I worked closely with my technicians and my U.S. Navy Seabees, who helped me achieve the mission of technical security across the continent of Africa. Then I came back to Washington, because that's what the plan said I needed to do. And I worked on some very technical engineering, information management solutions that were all leading to allow diplomacy to exist. And then from there, it was to a journey to Thailand, a country that was not on my radar, but now holds a very special place in my heart. I work with teams as we travel through Asia, all the way from Thailand to Cambodia, Australia, Fiji, and we just worked to make sure that all of our colleagues who were the Foreign Service officers had the ability to perform and make foreign policy decisions, work closely with our allies in whatever country that may be, and to be able to perform the mission of diplomacy, all at the request of what the president's initiatives have been for the U.S. Department of State. From Thailand, I got a little over-adventurous, and I traveled to Afghanistan for a year, where I worked as the senior engineer at U.S. Embassy Afghanistan, and worked very closely with DOD on a couple initiatives out there, and I loved every aspect of that. But then it was time to ask for an assignment which was a little more low-key. And so I moved my family to Germany, where I became the director of technical security for the U.S. Department of State for all of Europe. So I traveled with my teams, making sure that we had what we needed to ensure that every mission across Europe had safe and secure environments, whether that was technical, physical, and on the cyber side. And then in 2019, I returned back to the U.S. as our operations director, which was the first time the position had been held by a female. And then I moved on to become the director, which is the position I'm serving in, which, as you can probably guess, was the first time it had been held by a female as well. So as much as it seems like trailblazing, I love every aspect of this job and what it allows us to accomplish.
I mean, I guess wow would probably be an appropriate response. Your career journey, I mean, there was a path that you had, but there were so many unexpected side little steps, if you will. But they weren't side steps. They were part of your journey, but they were just unexpected. And it really took you literally across the globe. That is amazing.
Yes, that is the beauty of the Foreign Service. We get to travel and experience and explore all while representing the U.S. government wherever we are, and just having that exposure, and it allows us to become worldwide citizens.
Yes, I can imagine. How did it affect that global perspective? How do you think that affected your leadership, who you are as a person, like if you hadn't had that global path? So
it's hard to figure out what I wouldn't have done if I haven't had exposure, but I will say I believe I am a better person, a better engineer, and a better manager and leader from having exposures worldwide. As a part of, you know, the being in the Foreign Service, I take a little bit of every culture, every country that I've been exposed to, and figure out how do you adapt that into being a better person? How do I present myself to my teams no matter where in the world they are, and also with the respect of their cultures and understanding it as well?
That makes sense. So pivoting a little bit more into each of your own areas, if you could highlight some of the recent advancements or projects that you've been involved in and how they might be able to shape the industry's future. This time, Tamika, if you'd like to start us off.
So as a security engineer, we work very closely with all of our government agencies as well as our private sector partners as we look to achieve and accomplish the missions of something not as simple, because as we're learning more, cybersecurity is a big initiative, and the threat that it poses to the department and other agencies and companies as we try to achieve our mission is serious. So we work very closely with our partners, my security engineering officers and myself. We work on cybersecurity initiatives day in and day out. Cybersecurity risk doesn't just affect your computer some days. As we can look, everything is connected. So we have to have our hands and our eyes working on and looking at where the risks are on cyber every day. Another one of the initiatives that my teams have worked on is, and we work very closely again with private sector and government agencies on the drone detection and countering that threat and what it poses to personnel working in our embassies overseas and everything that we need to go to keep them safe in that environment.
It's important work, for sure. And Jackie?
So I think that we're really in the early days of the health tech revolution, and Abbott is playing a key part of that, or a key role in that, And one example of this is Lingo, the first of its kind consumer bio-wearable. And this device is so exciting for our company. And Lingo builds on our continuous glucose monitor, Freestyle Libre, already used by more than 5 million people worldwide. And this is for diabetes care. As a result of Freestyle Libre use, we know a lot more about the relationship of glucose to energy, exercise, sleep, and weight. And we've also learned that people without diabetes are just as interested in understanding that and learning more about their metabolic health.
That's fascinating.
So this really led to the creation of Lingo, which is for anyone that wants to better understand their metabolism. And Lingo launched in the UK this summer, and we're getting very positive feedback. And what we're learning from that is going to help us as we look to roll this out in more markets.
Great. Which markets are next up?
I don't think we've decided that yet. So we're still looking at what the best opportunity is.
Fair. As part of this A View from the Top series, we're really interested in hearing about, you know, any overarching trends or themes that you're seeing. So in your opinions, what are those big industry trends or maybe challenges right now that our listeners should be aware of? I love that we're getting both the public and private sector on this one.
So not necessarily a new trend or challenge, but one that's probably not known very well, is that in the government, we work very closely with our industry partners for most of our initiatives, but mostly we'll talk about supporting the secure communications that we have to ensure exist no matter where in the world our diplomats are. We have to be able to communicate with them, whether that is in the middle of an embassy closure or in the middle of a coup in a country. We work closely with our partners or industry partners to achieve and make sure that as they're developing technology, they're considering what the worldwide platform looks like and how do we employ that technology in our system of systems.
So sounds like a really strong partnership between the private and public sector.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's we depend on them and they depend on us to get the policy right.
It's a good complementary relationship. That's fantastic. And Jackie?
Yeah. Well, I think as a representative of Abbott, I really want to focus on what an exciting time for health tech leaders this is. There's so much innovation and creativity in the new technologies and capabilities, and even in application of technologies that have been around for a while, like AI. Generative AI is something that we expect to be transformative, and we've identified a significant number of potential use cases for the technology across our company. But because we're in healthcare, our customers and the people that use our life-changing technologies are our primary focus, and we need to make sure that we're very thoughtful and intentional about how we use technology, both inside our company and in our health tech products. And generative AI is no exception. So we're evaluating this technology internally and with outside experts to better understand the opportunities and challenges. And by testing generative AI in programs across our company, and we'll use these findings to develop our guardrails, our policies, our procedures, our training to help keep our data safe and secure. We want to also ensure that any content we generate is traceable, trustworthy, and unbiased.
I mean, absolutely. I think everyone, especially when it comes to healthcare, really appreciates that kind of due diligence around emerging technology, especially AI that's just really taken the world by storm, if you will.
Yes. Yes, agree.
Now, before we wrap up, I'd love to leave our listeners with some career advice. You know, something that they can really act on. What skills do you believe are essential for success in STEM leadership roles? And how can women in engineering and technology develop those skills?
You know, I have to start by saying how exciting it actually is to be at SWE 23 and watching, you know, thousands of young women in particular who are so interested in STEM careers and wanting to make this their field of choice, and seeing all of the potential and all of these great future leaders. And I think the most important thing that I would probably tell them is, you know, technology is just change in general. And I think it's so important, and one of the most important skills is to just always be learning, always know that technology is going to change, and always be sort of trying to be ahead of it, be strategic, you know, develop those skills, maintain relationships with your vendors, understand what everybody else is doing in technology, and really, you know, keep learning and encourage your teams to learn. I think that's one of the things that's most important in STEM, is to really embrace change and not only embrace it, but lead it, and lead it both for your company and for yourself.
And circling back to the power that mentors have had on your career, did you also find that the mentors had a huge impact in your leadership abilities and your rise in leadership?
Absolutely. I think, and this is one thing that I would also tell everybody, you know, one of the things that we have at Abbott, which I think is just is great, is we have a lot of employee networks. And many of those networks are set up to help with mentorship or to help build leadership skills or to be involved in STEM. And we have many others as well. And I think taking advantage of that, especially as a new career person, is so critical. And then you start meeting other people, you find your mentors or the people that you want to be your mentors, and you also can see other parts of the company that you may not be working in, and it helps, you know, just in general with the overall knowledge of the company and your growth as an employee and for your own career. And I think mentorship is so critical, and I think finding people who believe in you and really want you to succeed is the key. There's so many of us that are drawn to leaders in our companies that are just such great leaders, and they're so charismatic and they're so delightful to hear talk, and you want them to be your mentor. But everybody wants them to be their mentor. And I think, and they're probably fantastic mentors. It's key to find the person that really believes in you and really wants to support your growth. And it's not going to be everyone. And so you may try a few mentors along the way until you really find that person who you know believes in you and is genuinely wanting you to succeed. And I think that's critical.
It sounds like a really powerful piece to your success and ongoing success.
Yes, for sure.
And Tamika?
So one of the things I found in my career was that being motivated to be my best self and present my true self in whatever space I was working in was very important. And then the dedication to the mission, that is what has kept me here for the 20 plus years that I've been with the Department of State, is I love our mission and I stand by that. So if you're dedicated to a mission, you're willing to do what was needed to achieve that mission. And I would say for women in STEM, we're very technical in that aspect of it, but we're also very creative. And I think that bringing that creativity to the workspace allows us to be more fluid in how we make sure decisions are moving through that process. And one thing as a leader that I find more important is sometimes I have to set the engineering aside and make sure I'm paying attention to my people, make sure that they have what they need and that they're just as invested in the mission, because you'll come out with a better product in the end.
Sage advice. Yes, for sure. Thank you so much. It's been a wonderful conversation. Thank you both, Jackie and Tamika. These perspectives are just so incredible, and I think are going to really be informative to everyone that's listening out there. And again, I'm Larry Guthrie, and from all of us at SWE, thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Diverse. Please don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with your social network. You can visit podcast.swe.org to keep up with our episodes and learn more about how the Society of Women Engineers empowers women to achieve their full potential as engineers and leaders.